WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Monday morning. And it is time for our weekly discussion with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. How was your weekend?
It was fun. Very, very fun.
And not too bad weather-wise. So.
Yes. A lot of people were anticipating a rainy Sunday, and it turned out to be a beautiful Sunday.
It's kind of waiting for those thunderstorms, but...
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, especially with all the humidity, a lot of people are... Actually enjoying the rain to kind of cool down everything and bring us some cooler weather, which the humidity hasn't been, this weekend in particular, wasn't too bad compared to, for example, 50s night that we had this past week. It was very nasty. I was drenched in sweat the entire time.
I was telling people, I said, you know, you might complain because you get some rainy days here in July, but that means we're not going to be dealing with a drought in August, hopefully. So
that's a good point, yeah.
And as you know, we've gone through some rough ones the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of droughts, the drought of support financing the support agreement is over now for the Zyteria. That didn't last very long. Let's just jump right into it. You had said to us last week that you expected, you know, to be able to restore that funding. Did things shake out the way that you thought that they would in that vote?
So in the sense that we had the support to get it over the finish line, with the elephant in the room that the ward counselor was not happy about it. And again, to speak to some of the concerns that not just the ward counselor, but also a counselor at large, Brian Gomes, brought up, and some other counselors in regards to wanting to hold the nonprofit, accountable in terms of having them come in and speak to their strategic plan and what the Zyterian Theater will look like once they do reopen. And these are all fair points. I might have said this on air or maybe off air with you. These are points that I will not argue against. These are all points that I agree with. But as I've said to the ward counselor, as well as my other colleagues, we can have both at the same time. We don't have to hold their money hostage. I think the fear that some of my colleagues might have had was if we give them this money, there's no incentive to have them come in. Thankfully, the nonprofit group are not individuals that are going to be like, oh, well, we got our money now. We don't ever have to comply with them. That is not how they operate.
Rosemary Gill is happy to always spread the good word about the stuff that they do over there. So,
of course. And I think a lot of the questions that some of my colleagues have stem from the support agreement that we just approved and really where this $495,000, where the $495,000 will be going to, which again, all fair questions. And so myself, in particular, counselors Ryan Pereira and Naomi Carney have already filed a motion for this special city council meeting that we'll be having on Tuesday, actually tomorrow, July 22nd, to have them come in. They won't be coming in tomorrow, but the motion was filed for tomorrow to now go to the finance committee. So they will be coming in. They will be presenting all of that information that was asked of by the ward counselor and other counselors, all the concerns that were brought forward, and they will come in. They will be held accountable, as has been said, and they have no issue doing that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Didn't she come in and speak with you before you all voted for the support agreement to explain what that money would go for?
Correct. The other part, too, of the support agreement is, I'm sure, if you remember, during that time, it went through many committee hearings and many votes, and so there were times when we didn't even think it was going to pass. So that had very...
And all these counselors were on the council at that time.
Correct. That's a point that I stressed, because, there have been situations, obviously, where... there were votes of past councils that we're dealing with, and I think that was one of the concerns that were brought up. One of the concerns that this council had brought up about the 99-year lease, that we are essentially locking in a lease agreement for future councils to have to deal with. And that was one of the concerns that I know one of my colleagues had brought up. And it's a fair point, but in this case, it's one of those situations where it's only a year later, and a part of that support agreement that this particular council voted for was the $495,000, and that's one area that we couldn't refute. And so that was part of my frustration, I would say, with all of this, is we can argue the support agreement up and down again, and you know, up in all these different ways, but the one area that we can't argue is that we owe this money. And I think a part of the I think narrative that I want to try to change for the general public, and that might be helpful for people to better understand what this money is used for, is, you know, a lot of people refer to the Z, the nonprofit group, as tenants of the Zeiterion Theater. But I look at them as more of custodians or managers. And so we're really paying them to do a service for us, similar to how we pay Capital Waste to pick up our trash contract, or just like we pay the, you know, our staff and Department of Facilities and Fleet Management, DFFM, to maintain all of our other city-owned buildings. They work in our buildings. They're not tenants of our building. They're custodians, and they maintain our buildings. So in that same regard, the Z, the nonprofit group, yes, they work in the building and they do programming in the building, but they are also maintaining the building for us. They're doing the upkeep. And right now, they're raising substantial money, up to $37 million worth of it, to rehab and bring up ADA accommodations and other coding that has been severely lacking to a city-owned asset.
I do have some more Zeiterion-related questions, but we've got a caller here, so let's take that.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Hello. Wondering, first of all, thanks for hopping on the radio and talking through everything, because I know folks have a lot of questions about that. So recognizing there are a lot of that, like the budget is always going to be an issue, I'm curious what moves the council think they can do in terms of how to structurally long-term just grow the tax revenue of the city, in terms of growth of the tax base and just making the city more economically dynamic and growing, right? Because I think to the extent that these fights are going to happen every year around the budget, we'd rather be in a place where the city is growing and wealthier, instead of just having to have these fights around the margins every single year. So curious thoughts around what does that look like in terms of, rezoning, finding more opportunities for more residential and commercial development. Curious what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's a great question. It's something that comes up often around budget time when we're trying to balance the budget, because one of the biggest areas is we're trying to bring money in. And I think it's a really relevant question when we're talking about the Zeiterion Theater, because when we're fighting over $495,000, which, you know, don't get me wrong, it is a lot of money. $500,000 is a lot of money, but that is, to me, a small investment that has large gains. And so that's a part of the answer to the question that was just asked by that caller. The Z, when we talk about economic development, it brings in outside money. And I think that is what is missing a lot of times when we're talking about what drives tax revenue for our city. We don't want just a situation where our money here in New Bedford is just circulating. We want to bring outside money in. And so the Z, not just the Zeiterion, but many other businesses, are a big factor in that. So I think that's first and foremost, is having businesses that attract outsiders, and tourism. Tourism is a huge part of that. And I think, again, just because we had mentioned the Z, I want to harp on that. The Z is a big attraction for the city. So is the zoo. And again, our New Bedford is known for their restaurants and the food, and also the historic nature of New Bedford. I think our New Bedford Historic Downtown District and all the different areas that we continue to nurture and invest in, those are all areas we want to. But then beyond that, in my role as a city councilor, when, as the caller mentioned, when we talk about zoning changes, building housing, I think that part of it as well, we want to make sure that people have places to live. And then as we grow our housing stock, we also grow the ability for people to become homeowners and also grow the ability for that tax base to grow as well, to essentially, in terms of the people that are paying taxes, it releases or relieves the burden on other people who are paying into the tax bases, if that makes sense. So that also helps in terms of bringing in revenue and taking the load off of other taxpayers. So that contributes to all of it. And then as we build more housing and make it easier for people to live here and to work here and relieve the tax base, I think that also contributes to lowering crime rates. So all of it, it's multi-layered as we talk about. That's why I think I've said before when we were talking about how we can become a successful city, it all points back to housing. That's always going to be the key here. But then we also talk about education and improving our education system. So again, we can go on and on about all the different areas of how to improve the city. But I think those would be my key points, is helping areas like the Zeitarian Theater, the zoo, other attractions to bring tourism in, to bring outside dollars in, to grow. But then also improving our housing and zoning to make building or development, I should say, easier here in New Bedford. But as we know, there's not a lot of buildable land. So that's why, as I mentioned, zoning changes have to be reformed to make it so it's easier to build here in New Bedford where we can.
On the Zeitarian, do you think that if the Zeitarian had been open all this time and wasn't undergoing this renovation, would that have made your colleagues a little bit more amenable to the support agreement? Or do you think the fact that it's been shut down played a role in a lot of their votes?
I think it's one of the arguments they keep using as why are we paying this if they're closed down. I would say for me, I think when they come in and explain some of the funding, that reason why, for example, why it's increased so much. For example, like now that construction is going on, they're responsible, for example, like for the insurance for the construction. That's why it's inflated. And I think what some people don't realize is this $495 will actually be reduced next year when there isn't construction going on, because the cost will be down. Utilities as well. They're responsible for paying utilities. They're taking on a lot of different costs like that, even though they're not open. So I think a lot of that information is lost maybe for some of my colleagues that weren't, looking at the support agreement or what they're, paying for. I know some of those questions were asked during the budget hearing. I don't know for sure if it would have changed their minds, because as we know, programming is still technically going on. It's not going on at the actual building, but the Z is still promoting and doing programming in the community at different areas throughout the city and trying to raise money, again, as I mentioned, for the city-owned building to make sure they get to that $37 million mark.
Well, the Ward 4 counselor, Derek Baptiste, the Zeitarian is in his ward, so he should know, what it brings to the table. But he's been very critical. And one of the complaints that he has is, and I've heard this from other counselors too, is the programming that the Zeitarian brings in, that it's not necessarily what the people of the city are looking for, and that they also don't do enough to go into neighborhoods such as some of the ones in Ward 4 to bring in some programming. What just your thoughts on his comments and how that relates to the Z and its programming.
Yeah, I think what Councilor Baptiste speaks to is a history of mistrust and misuse of a city-owned building that used to be present there, but has, I think that what I would say is, it was a fair criticism of the Z in the past, but they have made great progress and made great strides to move away from that. They have hired many people and done a lot of community outreach to change that perception, and also to make sure that they're very intentional about bringing the community aspect in, but not only bringing people in, but also going out into the community. I think I've told you before, maybe if I've said on air before, I live only a block away from the Zeitarian Theater. I happen to live right across the street from the Cape Verdean American Veterans Hall, which the Zyterian Theater actually just did a programming or partnered with the Cape Verdean Veterans Hall. So they're doing a lot of partnerships with other nonprofit groups and other organizations because they're trying to be a lot more intentional about that community outreach, because they've heard this criticism and they know it's true. And they want to start essentially that healing process. And I think they're aware that it takes time to change that perception and to right a wrong that's occurred. And so I think it's really important for us as elected officials to recognize that progress that's being made and try to help foster that growth and that progress. So again, as I said before, I don't fault any of my colleagues for wanting to hold that accountability present and make sure that it's on the record, so to speak. And that's why I believe for myself, and as I mentioned, my colleagues, Councilors Pereira and Carney, have submitted a motion already to bring them in and say, hey, here are the concerns that we're hearing, not only from my colleagues, but from the public that also have this perception of you from the past. Let's show them that this is not the Z of the present or the future. So that way, when the doors do open, when you have your speakeasy, when you have the dance academy, when you have the open office space upstairs, when you have the expanded area of the lobby, when you have all these other areas of this building now, that it's going to be a community space that anyone can access, because it's a city-owned asset that you will welcome people in and partner with others, as you have been doing so far, at least during my tenure on the council.
And you mentioned that the support agreement decreases in how much the payments are in the future. And that it's important to note that this support agreement is only a couple more years on it. And then there'll be another discussion about this, and that with a new revamped Zyterian, they might not need this in the future.
Well, what I will say is they will always need support from the city. And that is not uncommon. That this is common in any municipality. People often rave about the Providence Performing Arts Center, often referred to as PPAC. I received a phone call from their executive director there, who, you know, offered to come to the New Bedford City Council to explain how their operation is. We know how successful PPAC is. Many of us drive to PPAC, to Providence, to go spend our money there in Providence. And no one, you know, well, maybe if you're not paying attention to the Providence government, I don't think that they complain about their support of PPAC. But many, unless you live in New York, obviously, where they have Broadway and you're paying, I think, you know, for minimum $100 or more for nosebleed seats to see some, you know, world-renowned performances, you're going to have a municipality supporting the arts. And it's important, because just back to what the caller was asking before about, you know, how do we help improve our tax revenue, and, you know, how do you have a city become a thriving city? The arts have to be a part of that, especially in a city like New Bedford. A gateway city like New Bedford, we thrive on our arts community. It's part of the fabric, I would say, of New Bedford. And so to have, again, a facility like the Zyterian Theater be closed down and not have a creative resource like that, it would really hurt a lot of different creative spaces, especially the way the Z has been operating and bringing in art, artists and different acts in recent years. It would be a detriment to the art community, and especially to New Bedford.
Let's take a call here before we get to take a break. Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Good morning, gentlemen. Why wouldn't the city give the building to the Zyterian organization and get it off city books, let the Zyterian do as they please now that it's good to go, it's remodeled, and just have something that the taxpayers of New Bedford don't have to worry about paying for? I'm not criticizing the Zyterian. I think it's a great asset down there. I just think the city had a chance to get rid of the building, give it to them, and they didn't.
Yeah, so as I explained, every other performing arts facility is supported by their municipal government, other than like very high, like New York, like Broadway facilities that pay very high ticket prices. I think one of the best features of our facilities like a Zyterian Theater or PPAC, in order to keep their ticket prices low and accessible to our students and community, low-income individuals, in order for them to experience the arts, they have to have the support of their local government. So this, again, is not unheard of. And I think the part that people keep missing is even, yes, again, $500,000 is a lot of money. I will not argue that point. But that $500,000 investment, that $495,000, which will drop to only $395,000 next year, then translates to millions of dollars in revenue that the city sees. So this is really an investment that brings the city, not only the city money in tax revenue, but also the businesses see such great revenue from this investment that the city is putting on. So I really think it would be a huge detriment to essentially throw the baby out with the bathwater by kind of putting them out there to dry just because now they fixed up this building. In order for them to be profitable and to run on their own, they would have to jack up their prices. And essentially, one of the big criticisms that they get is that they're not accessible. Then essentially, if we gave them the building, they would become even more inaccessible, because in order to become profitable and maintain themselves, they would have to raise prices very high to do that.
So the only expense that the city gives to them this year will be $500,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then it'll go down next year. So I mean,
to $395 million.
And $100 million. That's not much to me. You could still work with them as a partner, but just let them own the building and you take care of the building. You be your own people. Let's think out of the box here. Just make it a little different than other cities. Get the burden off the taxpayer. What if there was months or years when the city for some reason had extra money, they could give it to them? Other years they couldn't, and then the Zeitarian would have to act accordingly. I just think that the city lost an opportunity to do something different and help the taxpayers. And again, I'm not against the Zeitarian. I think it's an excellent asset for the city, but I think it needs to be off our plate and it needs to sink or swim. Sorry. Right. I know you don't agree with that.
I guess the only thing I'll say to push back on that is if they sink, then essentially it would still just sit there wasting away.
I think that's why the city wants to hold on to the building more than anything, is it maintains that they control it if something like that does happen, especially as arts get defunded.
An entire city block would just be vacant, and especially in the middle of our downtown district. And then that would then spread out and fester an entire downtown block. And so you have to look at that.
You're improving the city, though. The city's improving by leaps and bounds. We're seeing apartments go downtown. We're seeing bars and restaurants doing crazy amounts of business. I just think that it's time to stop thinking about...
But my question is, if you go into one of those businesses downtown that you're talking about that's thriving, ask one of those owners how they would feel if the Zeitarian closed down and shuttered. And I bet you every one of those owners would say, oh, we wouldn't be successful. Because ever since they closed down...
I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah.
Right.
So they would say that this money is very important.
I think we're playing a what-if game. Maybe something could happen in the future when we just need to live today. You know, I mean, the taxpayers are alive today. We're trying to struggle and pay our bills. But if something happens that we're worrying about in 5 years of the Zeitarian, I think that's... That's not a good way to think. But all right, thanks, gentlemen. Take care.
You too. Hold you there anyway. So we got to take a break. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you. We'll skip over the news, but we'll be back in just a few moments with the council president. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back in. We are with the council president, Shane Burgo, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Shane, I wanted to ask you, maybe you said it before, but maybe I didn't catch it, but do you agree with Derek Baptiste's assessment that there's not enough diversity of programming at the Z?
Oh, so as I've said, I think I agree with his sentiment that there's our past history, that the Zeitarian Theater has not worked enough with the community to make sure that programming includes enough diverse thought. But I think that has changed. And so I believe that in recent years, they have done a lot of work to include more diverse communities and diverse thought in their programming.
All right. I guess I'm looking for examples. What would you like to see at the Z? Or what do you, you know, that's one thing that Derek didn't mention in his thing, was a solution to it. What would he like to see there? And I think that's what's missing from the conversation, because you can put on a show, if nobody's going to come see it, then mm-hmm. the Zeitarian would be foolish to keep putting on these shows. So I'm just curious about it, and I wish that Derek had expanded on it and said, that's racist. You should have more diverse program. We'll expand on that, you know? For instance, there were shows... Like the Mexican Folklorico show, an excellent, excellent show. That's diverse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody showed up for it. Suburban white people showed
up. Well, one of the final shows they did before they closed was The Wiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of great programming there, but they can't beg people to come in to see them. It's up to the people to want to maybe expand their horizons and come see a cultural show at the Z. And I don't know, that's just my opinion on it. It's a tough thing, but if the Zeitarian can, you know, they can do what they can do to make everything diverse as possible. But if people don't come and see those shows, then they're losing money on them. So in their minds, maybe it's not worth it to do it if nobody's going to come see it. But they are trying.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I would just want to point out again, like, if I remember correctly, I don't believe my colleague, Councilor Baptiste, used the R word, as I said, racism. I know that can be derived from some of his remarks. And I know when we talk about diversity or diverse, sometimes we like to think that means racism. But as I pointed out, I don't want to speak for him. But I think, again, some of the points that he brought up really comes back to some of the past practices. I do believe he makes some good points in regards to some of the concerns that the community might have had regarding past practices and the perception they have. And as I mentioned, the Z recognizes some of those perception issues that they have. So that's why I think there's no issue in bringing them in so they can, as you're pointing out, go over some of the programming that they're doing, programming that they plan on working on, and the strategic plan they have that discusses the practices they will have moving forward of reaching out to the community to make sure. When we talk about diversity, we're talking about not just skin tone or skin color, but bringing in different mindsets from different communities, people that work in different fields, to make sure that when they're doing different programming, it's not just cultural programming, but programming that brings people from different walks of life into the theater so they feel connected.
TED Talks, or they have done the TED Talks in the past. You get my meaning on it. They do the professional big things like that.
They have the symposium discussions.
National journalists come in and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. I know that years ago, the Zeitarian had a suggestion box at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where that ended. I don't know if it just wasn't used so much by the patrons that would come in. But I think that something like that would be a very easy way for the Zeitarian to take suggestions and calculate them at the end of the week or at the end of the month. And say this is kind of what people want.
I think they got tired of the box getting stuffed with requests to move the bathroom. That's probably where
might have been it. Yeah, and,
I gotta hold you there though.
Sure thing.
Thank you for the call, because I want to get one more point in about the Z before we go take our next break. And that's, I know the Zeitarian's probably not going to say this, and I don't know that you, Council President Berger, would say this either. But you got to keep in mind, the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center can only put on the shows that are willing to come to the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center and mm-hmm. put on a show. So they can want to request all the different types of diverse programming that they want. If those shows don't want to come to that theater, and by the way, it's not because they don't want to come to New Bedford. It has everything to do with the facility and Correct. Its capabilities. And many of these modern shows required more than what the Zeitarian could provide. In terms of, you know, now that they have new state-of-the-art sound and lighting, it'll be a big difference. But a lot of these shows would look at the facilities and their capabilities and say, I'm sorry, we just can't put it on there.
Which is why some of the renovations that they're going through is going to be such a game changer. Which is why, again, I think we're all saying the same thing. And this is why a part of the frustration that I have is I don't want people to misconstrue that I'm criticizing any of my colleagues that were trying to withhold the money to bring them in. We're all saying the same thing. My colleague, Counselor Brian Gomes and Baptiste, we're all saying the same thing, that we want them to come in to just state that what they're going to be doing. They just wanted to go about it a different way. They felt as though they needed to withhold the money to bring them in. And I'm essentially saying, no, we can give them the money and they'll still come in. So essentially, they don't want to hurt the Z. And I think that's a important point that I want to put out there, is that that's being misconstrued, especially for the ward counselor. He doesn't want to hurt his ward, and he doesn't want to hurt the Z. He just wants to make sure that they're held accountable. And I want to stress that point as well. We might have a disagreement on how to get there, but we all want to get to the same goal. We're just going about it a different way. And I think that is an important point that I want to put out there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll take a break on that. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned. All right. Welcome back in. We are with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We're running short of time very quickly, but let's take a call here. Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Yeah. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, counselor.
Good morning.
You know, we're talking, the Zeiterion is the building that we own.
Correct.
What you're talking about is the management group.
The Z.
That oversees the day-to-day operations and getting the different shows and to go in there. So, you know, this whole thing about the Z, it's not the building. The Zeiterion is what we own. And we spent $37 million of ARPA funds.
No, we didn't.
To keep this thing going.
No, that's,
that's the total cost, but only $5 million of which was ARPA funds, which I think, I'm glad you brought that point up, because I think a lot of people missed that point. It's $37 million for the entire project, and the city only contributed $5 million in ARPA funds out of that $37
million. Well, either way, we own the building. It's the management team that you have gripes with. But what doesn't make sense to me is we owe $40 million in pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our money is for the public school budget that now is ballooned to $250 million. Is 60% of the city budget. And we will heavily rely on the federal government and the state government for grants. And here we're talking about the Zeiterion. You know, if people love the arts, especially the people of means that come from the Cape and Marion, Metropoiset, let them pay up. You love the arts, open your wallet. I don't believe that we should, as a city, that we can't even pay our bills.
I agree with that. Millions of dollars
into the Zeiterion.
Yeah, I agree with that point. And what I would say is they are opening up their wallets. I think a number of these individuals, as you're pointing out, from out of New Bedford, have invested heavily into the city-owned building. As I pointed out, this $37 million project that's ballooned because of COVID, the cost of construction and labor. The nonprofit group that a lot of people are upset with, have done an amazing job of raising money to make sure this building is able to be renovated and constructed and raising that money.
Let me interrupt for a second.
Sure.
But the shows that they've had in the past, is that paying the bills, or are they just breaking even? Because in the private sector, your revenues have to cover your costs and the profit. The question is to the city of New Bedford, as taxpayers, is this creating a profit for the city to help it pay off some of its bills, like the pensions and DPI and public safety and public schools? That's my major question for you, and I hope you answer that.
Yeah, so as I talked about before early in the program, I don't know if you were listening, I had talked about how a lot of municipalities obviously help with essentially some refer to as gap funding to help with the programming, and then to make sure that arts are accessible to the community that they serve, ticket prices try to stay low. So to really answer your question directly, no, the ticket pricings are not profitable in the sense of when you're talking about capitalism, to make sure that the ticket prices are going to give you so much profit that they are going to give back.
Because they're not charging $120 a ticket.
Correct. But at the same time, too, they have obviously the bars open and other prices like that, which they pay taxes on, those drinks and beverages that come back to the city through the hotel and meals tax.
Well, I mean, you should have some sponsors to offset the cost. But next time you have her come in, have her open up the books and see expenses versus revenues and the profit margin. So
yeah,
when you get her in there, make sure you cover all those bases. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I got to take a break here, but one thing I will say, you know, would be helpful, and it'll be helpful to some of your colleagues' concerns too, from what they've been saying, is have Rosemary bring in that data that they have of where these ticket prices, where these ticket purchases are made from.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say there are a large number of people in New Bedford that buy tickets to shows, and they can bring in that data to prove
from
that.
From every zip code, they've said,
So, all right, we got to take one more break here, or we'll be back in a few moments to wrap things up with the council president. So with 2 minutes left, we won't be able to get into some of these other supplemental budget items, but there's not going to be a finance committee meeting before next Monday, so we'll have a chance to, to talk about these more next week. But that is the process. All these other supplemental budget items is going to be discussed in committee. And then August 21st will be the next full council meeting to vote on those?
Correct.
So
that's the plan, essentially, is we'll get a better idea of why these supplemental budgets are needed. Just as I mentioned before, the council is responsible enough to look at the numbers, understand fully. The mayor has obviously outlined in some of his letters some of the issues that the state has brought up in regards to, like, our health insurance, and then obviously issues with the capital waste contract. So we'll review those in finance and then make the determination when we refer it out of committee. And then the final action will take place on August 21st if they're referred out of committee before then.
And
I
as
say.
CFO Ekstrom said, you know, these departments will still be able to continue functioning. In the meantime, nothing's going to get shut down, including the Casa de Ciudad library still open.
Well, and I think, again, not to harp on that again, but, you know, a lot of people were misunderstanding that something was going to be done about that during our last council meeting, mainly because the mayor has, again, lied about the funding for the libraries. There is no restorations to the library because there's no need to restore any funding because, as I mentioned before, that the mayor refuses to address the numbers and figures that I pointed out with the fact that there's vacant positions. There is no restorations needed to the library department, but he won't address that because he knows he's wrong. So it's unfortunate because there were a number of individuals that showed up to the council meeting thinking that we were going to be restoring something for the libraries that obviously aren't needed at this time. I'm hoping that